solve. You spell love T-I-M-E. Like, you have to make time. We are so glad that you are joining us today for the Devoted Life Podcast. This is episode 4 coming at you. The Devoted Life Podcast, the goal is 30 minutes of content that deepens your faith, ignites your passion for Jesus. It releases every month, last Thursday of the month. We're putting these out. If this content is helpful, I just encourage you, subscribe, share it on social, allow us to reach more people as we get the message of the gospel out and give you practical, encouraging, hopefully inspiring content month after month. Today, we're covering a very important topic. And if you haven't been with us these last three episodes, they are building. So I just encourage you, go back, check out episode 1, 2, or 3. But today, we're talking about the topic of marriage. And I really believe that this is actually going to be applicable for everyone, no matter where you find yourself. If you are married, of course, there's going to be some direct application. If you are dating, there's going to be some direct application. If you're single and you're considering marriage for the future, if you're divorced and you've gone through maybe some real challenges in marriage, hopefully this content is very helpful. And so I brought in the master of marriage, the greatest guest of all time, my beloved wife, Christina Rose. Welcome to the podcast again. I'm glad you're here.
I'm glad I'm here too. Yeah. Master of marriage. That's very generous.
Yeah, yeah. I just came up with that on the fly, you know? Yeah. But yeah. So we're just going to have a conversation about marriage. We've learned a few things along the way. We dated for 5.5 years, mm-hmm. and now we are married 20 years this year, babe. 20 years.
20 good ones.
And it keeps getting better. So let's just talk a little bit about first the vision of marriage, because I think this is where a lot of people, the struggle begins, right? And so, you know, in our current moment in our culture, and I just think about our friends, our family, the people we know, people you know listening as you're driving to work or you're working out or whatever you're doing as you listen to this podcast, you know, why do people get married and why do people want to get married? And you know, what is the driving force behind marriage? And I think if you look at the typical answers, obviously companionship, mm-hmm. right? People want a companion in life, romance. People want, you know, satisfaction in a love of their life. You know, some other, there's a cultural pressure. I think there's something that people think that says, hey, I'm not somebody if I'm not married, which I don't think is at all biblical, but it is a pressure. And I think one of the big assumptions that a lot of people come into marriage is that, hey, if it's love, it's just going to work. Mm-hmm. You know, if it's love, it's just going to work. And I think 20 years in, I think what we would say is you got to work it, right? Mm-hmm. You have got to work it. That these myths about marriage are killing us. Yeah. You know, so many people today are saying, well, we just grew apart. And my attitude is, well, that's on you, yeah. because the direction that you grow is actually your responsibility, mm-hmm. right? And so I know that might sound harsh. I'm not throwing stones. There's a lot of different circumstances, situations. I don't know your situation. I'm just speaking in general to everybody that's listening. But I think another assumption that people make is, well, it's my spouse is supposed to make me happy. And if I'm not happy, then I want out. And I think one of the big transitions for us as we learned and grew together in marriage is just that shift. And mm-hmm. there's a great book, Sacred Marriage. I remember reading that early on, maybe year 2 or 3 in our marriage. But this shift from, hey, is marriage primarily about my happiness or primarily about my holiness? Mm-hmm. And God gives us a vision for marriage that is massive. And we're not going to get into all of it today. But we preached on it at Box mm-hmm. recently, this series we've been in on relationships. This is all really applicable. But the idea that, you know, that marriage is really about becoming who God has called you to be and walking with your spouse as they become who God called them to be. And so give me your thoughts on that as we dive into the topic together.
As we dive right in. Yeah, that was a huge paradigm shift for me. I think going from the whole thought pattern of everything in life is meant to make me happy, right? Mm. Like the goal of life is happiness. And I looked to you to do that for me.
Sure.
And so being able to invite God in early on in our marriage to shape and change our hearts and change our paradigm of like marriage is meant to point me to Christ, and that I find true love when I focus my attention and affection on Christ. And so that the outworking of becoming more in love with him, of inviting that the process of becoming holy like he is, then actually released happiness in our life, right? Like,
so
that
big.
Like that reordering of my attention and affection has to be on Jesus first.
Yes.
And then it actually allowed me to be able to see Christ in you, which made me want to love you more because I could see Jesus. So,
yeah, that's huge. I mean, you know, just this idea of like, is my spouse an idol in my life? Right? Because we do look to our spouse to say, hey, you have to make me happy. You have to fulfill me. You have to meet my needs. And it is a radically different perspective in a Christian marriage where you say, Jesus makes me happy. Jesus is my source. And then even the truth of the gospel coming into my life, that I am one loved by God. Yes. I am one accepted, forgiven. And that becomes my engine, my fuel for my soul. And then out of that fuel, I now learn to love my spouse from an overflow, not from a deficit, right? And so I think that for us, and you know, for us, that's not theory. We've been working at this for a long time, and it's you know, it's getting better. It's getting better. I want to talk a little bit about how to keep the marriage hot, because let's be real, 20 years in, the marriage is hot. The marriage,
hot, babe,
smoking hot. And so it's been a great ride, and we've learned a lot about each other, about Jesus, and you know, four babies and a lot of years. And I think we would both say that we are more madly in love today than ever before. And I want to share a little bit of our story, but I think that one thing that, you know, people hear that and they go, oh, well, that's great for you.
Right.
And I think what we want to talk about today in this podcast is that can be great for you, but it doesn't just happen.
Yeah.
There is intentionality that is, you know, needed at every step of the way. And when we're not intentional, marriage is like your backyard. The, you know, the raccoons move in and the squirrels move in and the grass grows tall and the branches fall. And it's just a big mess back there if you don't tend to it. And so let's just talk a little bit about how we met. So you want to tell a little bit of the story?
Sure.
Okay. What do you got?
Well, we officially met 2 days before your 16th birthday.
Yes, we did.
We did at a going away party for a mutual friend.
Yes.
And I went home that day and I said, Mom, I met the guy that I'm going to marry.
Yeah.
I knew.
Yeah,
I
you did.
I was in love right away. It took you a little while.
No, I was in love right away. I mean, I definitely was, I was definitely smitten, but I didn't necessarily move directly to the marriage after the first 2 hours, but I was pretty taken. And of course, as even as we share this, you know, you're listening today, this is not everybody's story. We're not sharing everybody's story. We're just sharing ours, you know? And so for us, we committed to dating, you know, remember, like, we didn't have phones because this was 1998.
We, I gave you my email address.
Yeah, yeah. We exchanged AOL.com email addresses and we waited on AOL for us to be able to email back and forth. And then I got my license and immediately.
Our first date, your friend came to.
Well, that's, we didn't have a car. Yes.
Drive.
Yeah, I didn't have a car. And I wooed you by bringing you
to
Mickey D's. Yes, it won, you know, won the day with that one. And I paid, you know, and guys, you got to pay, you know, that's just part of the deal. And you got to, you know, pursue. And so, yeah, we were 16 and that's where things started. I think one of the things, turning point for me, is when we graduated high school and you really felt a call from God for missions. And I remember the day that you left for YWAM, you went and you did missions work, and you could talk a little bit about that. But I remember for me, that was super attractive to me because I was like, wow, this girl just left me for the missions field and she loves Jesus more than she loves me. And I think that's kind of, you know, as we talk about, like, how do we keep the fire burning? I think that's the first big thing is, like, do I actually love Jesus more than my spouse?
Yeah.
And I think, you know, you do and I do. And I think that has been absolutely essential for the health of our marriage all these years.
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, people have asked me, like, what, you know, you were so young. Like, what was it that made you so sure? What was it that made you so confident in your love for him, or that that was who you wanted to marry at such a young age? And it's because I could so clearly see Christ in you. And I...
They call me a zealot.
You were a zealot.
I am a zealot.
You were a zealot. But for me, because I had, at a young age, already given my life to Christ, and I knew I wanted to live my life on mission for the gospel. I saw that in you, and it pulled at all of the things in me that God had put in me for my purpose, for how I would spend my life. And so, I think if you're married, continue to look for Jesus in your spouse. If you're not married and you want to become married, look for Christ in the person that you want to pursue. And that is still, to this day, 25 years of loving you, the most attractive thing about you is your love for God. It makes me want to love Jesus more.
Yeah, and I think, you know, even as you hear that, you're here, maybe you're listening and you're, you know, dating someone or you're not yet married, I think it's important to realize, like, I love how Tim and Kathy Keller talk about it in their book, The Meaning of Marriage. They say, like, you know, don't look for a perfect marble statue, look for a block of marble. Right. You know what I mean? And so the idea is, like, does the person have a deep devotion for Jesus? And then am I excited about their potential in Christ,
right.
Their love for God, their devotion for God, where they're headed in God, not necessarily economically or socially or culturally or physically, but where are they headed in God? Let that be the first thing.
Yeah.
And when I see that spark, that fire in them, boy, we've got something good to work with.
Yes.
And then together, I love how they describe it. This has been one of the biggest joys of our marriage, is that we are actually co-laboring with God in the creation of something beautiful in our spouse.
Yes.
And so, like, I have been able to walk with God, which is just such a wild thing, to watch the Lord change you, stretch you, push you, and grow you. And I've been a part of that architecture while you're helping me, along with the Holy Spirit, change and grow to become more like Jesus together. So it's like this co-laboring journey as friends to become more like Christ. And what we're saying here is, when that's like the burning center of your marriage, get ready, because things are going to get hot. It's going to be awesome in all those other areas because you have that devotion to Jesus at the center. And so even just like what that looks like for us, I think one thing that, and we're going to get into calendar in a second here, but one thing that looks like is like time talking about Jesus.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? That sounds pretty simple, but there are married couples that we've been married 20 years, we go to church together, and we really don't ever talk about Jesus together.
Right.
And it doesn't necessarily mean, like, let's talk about John chapter 5, verse 2, It's which we also do, but it's also just like, what's God doing in your life?
Yeah.
You know, just being intentional at dinner when we go out to say, hey, how are you?
Yeah.
Like, what's the Lord doing in you?
Yeah.
Where are you struggling? And not so that I can solve it or you can solve it, but just so that we can begin to enter into each other's world.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And I think that's one of it should be, anyway, one of the greatest gifts found within marriage is that I actually love our built-in accountability, that I trust your heart and your pursuit of Jesus. And it actually makes me want to pursue Christ, because I'm like, well, he's going to ask me, what'd you read this morning?
Yes.
And what did the Holy Spirit speak to you? Or what are you praying through right now? Or how can I pray for you? And being able to have a response for that, because I have cultivated a deep love for Christ on my own, separate from you.
Yes.
It allows our love for each other to grow, but then it creates this beautiful offering of love to Jesus through our marriage.
Yeah.
And so being able to talk about what God is doing in us is one of the greatest ways, I think, to feed and fuel our love for one another.
Yeah, and when you talk about a Christ-centered marriage, what you're really talking about is this idea of, like, Christ is my source. So I'm not, and we just covered this a second ago, but I want to circle back till we get to the next thing here. I'm not looking to my spouse to be my source. I'm looking to Christ, and then from the revelation of his love for me, I now have something to give my spouse that I wouldn't have otherwise.
Yeah.
And when two people are committed to that, you got some real juice. You've got some life that allows you to love each other in ways you just wouldn't be able to otherwise.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about calendar, because, you know, for me, I'm a very planned person. If you listen to last month's episode, you know, I can definitely be passionate about a plan and a calendar. And I think that one of the real secrets to keeping the love burning bright, now 25 years into a relationship, is a calendar. Mm-hmm. I mean, sounds really romantic, right? But the truth is, like, yes, we're all spontaneous, and that's great, and romance is spontaneous, but you know, you can't be spontaneous with your exercise. You can't be spontaneous with your diet. You know, what do you call someone who's spontaneous with their diet? Overweight, right? What do you call someone? I mean, that's just real. Like, right? Like, you can't be spontaneous. You have to be planned. And I think when it comes to love, there has to actually be a cadence of investment. And so I just want to talk a little bit about that, because we haven't mastered it, but 20 years in, it's getting stronger and stronger and stronger. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it begins, we'll start maybe micro and go out to macro. Yeah. So like, we tried for a while, like, what does a prayer cadence look like for us? Mm-hmm. And where we've landed, and you may do something different, we pray at night before we go to bed. But our big time is we take once a week in the morning to be together, mm-hmm. and to seek the Lord, read the Bible together, and pray. And that's been really sweet.
Yeah.
I mean, that's been a really sweet time. Thoughts on that?
Yeah. No, it's become something that it is a discipline for
yeah.
sure. But early on in our marriage, we really struggled to know how do we connect
yeah.
to the Lord together.
Big time.
And that was something that was actually a deterrent for us for so long, because for years and years, we both relate to the Lord so differently because our personalities are really different. And so I would want to approach God, time with God together one way, because that's what worked for me. And
yeah.
so we've really had to put the time in to figure out, like, how do we connect in a way together to
right.
the Lord that's enriching for both of us. And it meant just giving space for each other, right? And not criticizing how the other person reads or how the other person prays. And that sounds so simplistic.
It meant
right?
me like, growing is really what it meant, because I was always like, this is how you do it. And you were like, why don't we not
do
it?
I do
yeah,
it.
Yeah. And I
yeah.
didn't give you space for
right.
too many years. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And so the discipline of it, that we have a set time each week, we know it's coming.
Yeah.
It's carved out, and it's hard. It's hard. I would much rather 45 more minutes of sleep, which I did take today.
Yeah, you did.
Because I didn't feel good.
I know.
I'm a little
sinus
sick,
infection.
So,
yeah.
But knowing, like, Tuesday mornings, we're up 5:30 or 5:45, and it's become one of my favorite things that we do.
Yeah.
Together.
Me too. And, you know, it's funny because you're reading through the Bible this year, and that's not been my flow. But so we're reading a lot of scripture together
yeah.
too. Like
yeah.
we're reading, you know, all right, let's jump into Isaiah chapter 14 and read, you know, and that's been awesome too,
yeah.
because we're reading it together, just absorbing God's word together. This is gold, you know, it's really, really valuable for a family. And so I just encourage you, if you're married, what's your cadence to seek the Lord together? And it doesn't have to be like we're levitating off the ground and reciting the entire Old Testament. It doesn't have to be this ultra spiritual thing.
Mm-hmm.
It can be we're half asleep reading Isaiah
yep.
at 5:45 in the morning on a Tuesday. And it's still such an investment that helps. And then from there, so if you go, that's weekly. We also try to do weekly time together and like a devoted night. And this is not always going out. We've got
yep.
four kids. It doesn't mean you're going out every single week. That gets expensive. We do try to go out once a month, and we budget for that, whereas at least once a month, we're going out on a date. And I just want to say this to the guys in the world. My preference, my encouragement, and every couple is different. There are different dynamics. I get that. My encouragement is for the guy to plan that. And so, you know, again, it's not an absolute, but I know, at least for you, it makes a really big difference when I take a little initiative on that.
Mm-hmm.
I pick a restaurant, I pick a time, I make sure we nail it down, and once a month we're going out. And we do it together sometimes. We'll go like, oh yeah, you know, where do you want to go? But I try to be the initiator in that. And then once a week, we're just getting some time, usually at home, where it's just you and me, and we're getting rid of the kids. I mean, let's mm-hmm. be real. That's much more than once a week. We try to get rid of the kids all the time, but we love our kids, but we just like each other much
yeah.
more.
Can we pause there for a
yeah.
second, actually, because I think that's something that's really important. If you are married and you have children, I never feel bad telling my kids,
oh, no.
I'm not going to spend time with you right now. It's time for me and dad. And
yeah.
I think that I grew up watching my mom and dad model that and display that,
yep.
Just a deep love and obsession for one another. And
yes.
as a kid, that formed this thing in me that like mom and dad love each other
mm-hmm.
first. They love
yeah.
Jesus first. They love each other more than they love me. And it actually set me up now to be in a marriage where I do love you more than I love our kids.
Let's go. I know. Well, I would tell them like, I picked her,
kind
you know what I mean?
Love, yeah. obviously. But like what we're also doing is yes, we're investing that in each other, but we are teaching our kids for the day, if that is what the Lord has for them to be married, this is what a marriage should look like. This is how you prefer one another. This is how you make space for each other. And
totally. And
yeah.
we're always trying to escape. And they're like,
yeah.
hey, you're leaving again. Don't, you know, and we're like, sorry, we're going out. And yeah, I mean, now the older ones get it. But that has been a cadence for us that is so important. And they see it like,
yeah.
hey, she's my best friend.
Yep.
I love you. You're my son. You're awesome. She's my best friend. We're going to go hang out. And again, we have time for investment in them, too.
Yes.
It's not that they're
right.
neglected kids
yeah.
by any means. They get a lot of our time. But they see that we're priority. Mm-hmm. And I think for our family, that has been huge. Mm-hmm. That has been really big. But then I think another thing that has been really important for us is at least quarterly, you and I are going away somewhere. Mm-hmm. And again, these don't have to be ultra expensive, but we're budgeting for this to get out of the house, and grandma or somebody else is staying with the kids. Yep. And we are leaving, and we're trying to do that once every 3 months. Sometimes it wakes out to be a little more than that, but those are key times. Yeah. And like sometimes we'll drive 3 or 4 hours, and the drive is awesome
because it's just we go 20 minutes away.
Sometimes we go 20 minutes away, right. Yeah, and we just go downtown to the city and just hang there. But again, you're hearing this, you're married, and you're like, oh, why is the fire going out? The fire's going out because there's no logs on the fire. Like you have to make that space, and then once a year, we go away somewhere warm for a week. Mm-hmm. And we literally, like, typically it's January, February, we start the countdown in like August or September. You know what I mean?
Well, and it didn't start with a week. And so I think that that's something that a lot of times we'll share that with people and they're like, I could never get away for a week. I have my kids are this young, or I could never afford something like that. And we did 3 days.
Yep.
The first time we ever did it, we did 3 or 4 days at a not nice place.
It was
not nice. And it wasn't even the point. It was not to go somewhere nice. That's great. But the point was extended investment in each other.
Yes.
And so figuring out how you can make space for that, buy a budget cruise and get away with your spouse. And we did it. And it was
rough. The cruise was rough.
The cruise itself was rough. But our time together, we're talking about it 10 years later.
That's right. Yeah. And we look forward to it all year. And it's just such a huge part. And, you know, if you're listening to this and maybe you've been married 5 years or 10 years, you haven't taken a vacation since your honeymoon, whatever. I talk to couples all the time that is the case. And they're like, I just don't know why. And why things are struggling, or why we're not communicating well, or why. And like you spell love, T-I-M-E. Like you have to make time to talk, time to reflect, time to disagree. And that's a whole nother podcast. How do you disagree well and fight clean? But those time investments solve 1,000 future problems, you know? And so I think just if you're married, if you're dating and you're considering marriage, don't let the dating stop when the marriage starts. You have to think, okay, weekly, time with the Lord, time with each other, monthly or going out, quarterly, getting away, annually, spending extended time a week or so where we're really just investing in the relationship. And all of those things breed health. And it sounds so simple, but we have talked to so many couples who don't do that. And the answer is usually, we can't get away from the kids or money. And let me tell you, we got 4 kids and for a long time we didn't have the money. Mm-hmm. And you have to just fight for it. And if you don't, it's going to catch up with you. Mm-hmm. It's going to catch up with you. And that's one, again, I know people, this is not like the only way, but it is an important way. And my heart is breaking for the many, many, many couples in dysfunctional, unhealthy marriages. And one of the first things you can do is start making the time investment. And here's what I would say to this, is if you go away for an overnight and you argue the whole time and it's a nightmare, don't stop going away, because you're detoxing.
Right.
You're getting out all the garbage that's been building up that you haven't been dealing with. And so we did that for a long time.
Yep.
You know,
we did.
The first
we
few
would fight
years.
Every vacation bad.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. But we just kept going until the point now where it's like we never fight ever.
Oh, seriously, almost never.
That's a different
podcast because we have learned to
fight clean.
Well.
Yeah. Fight clean. Yeah. Yeah, neither of us back down either. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, we're both the type of person that's like, well, that bothered me, so let's deal with it. We're not a sweep it under the rug type of people, but we have learned to fight clean, and that's been huge for us.
Yeah.
We got a couple of minutes. I want to talk about Philippians chapter 2. I just want to read this text, maybe the most difficult Bible verse. It says, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself. Not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others." Right? Selfishness.
Yeah.
Selfishness. 99.9999% of problems in a marriage trace back to selfishness. Yeah. And I just want to talk a little bit about the gut-wrenching journey of dealing with my selfishness that both of us have been on for 20 years.
Yep.
And of all the things that marriage does, marriage certainly exposes selfishness, you know? And one kid will do it, then two kids, three. By the time you're four kids, you're like, oh my gosh, I'm so selfish. Like your selfishness is totally exposed. I've told a story before, you know, the day that Gabe was born, our first son, born, and you were sleeping, and he's laying in the little incubator thing they put him in, and I'm looking at him, and we're now like, whatever, 45 minutes into being parents, and I look at our son, and I start having a panic attack. And I remember looking at him and thinking, oh my goodness, I can't go out. I can't leave this kid alone. I can't spend the money I want to spend on this or that. I can't hang out with my friends. I can't. And like my life started flashing before my eyes. Like, what have I done? I've become a dad. We were 23. Yeah. And I was like, ah. And then this moment of just radical surrender where I said, this selfishness has to die. And I literally had my first conversation with my son. I said, he was sleeping, but I said, Gabe, I'm going to put your needs above mine from here on out. And that was a turning point moment in my own soul with Jesus. But marriage and family, they do this. They help deal with selfishness. Just share a little bit about your journey, and I'll share a little bit more about mine, but how God kind of gets at that.
Yeah, it took me many more years to see my own selfishness. And I mean, I was 30, so we had been married 9 years at that point. And you know, you very diligently, very consistently addressed my selfishness.
Militantly.
Zealously. Yeah. Went after this thing that was the root of, honestly, a lot of our conflict, a lot of our struggle early on in our marriage. And we were in Portland, Oregon, recording an album.
Yep.
And I was sick, like very, very sick, and had lost my voice. And so I couldn't record vocals on the album. And the producer had also chosen somebody else to sing a song that I had been a part of writing. And so I was sick. I was tired. I was just dealing with a whole bunch of like junk in my own soul. And I'm sitting on our bed in the hotel we're staying in, like having a wicked pity party for myself. And you looked at me and you said, you are a very selfish person.
I was really subtle approached
but
it.
But in that moment, it was like, and then you left the room, and I was sitting
Mic
there.
Dropping.
I was sitting there on the bed in our hotel room, and it was like for the first time in my life, I was able to see myself and the condition of my own heart. And that was a gift from the Holy Spirit. But it was years of prayer. It was years of confrontation on your part to address in me. And then it was the love of Jesus that exposed my own heart to myself. And I texted you and Nancy, who had also been in Portland with us.
I said,
I need to pray. Like, I've got to repent. And that was, I will remember that moment, the room I was sitting in, for the rest of my life, because God uprooted this thing in me that had been so dominant in my life. And it was selfishness and it was pride. And I went through this painful but beautiful process of repentance. And by God's incredible mercy, I really have never been the same since then.
That's
true. It's not that I've not ever been selfish since then, because I have, but there was such a turning over in my soul. A revelation of how much the Lord loves me and all that he sacrificed for me. How could I operate in selfishness, right? Like, my life is for him and for the people that are around me.
I remember that huge moment. You know, I know for me, one more recent one, you know, this is just maybe a year and a half ago, we were having a conversation, maybe a little longer, maybe 2 years now, I don't know. But we were having a conversation and you were taking on more and more ministry responsibility. You remember this. And you said to me, we were arguing about it a little bit and just how to make the schedules work. And you just said, you know, you make me feel like your ministry is more important than mine. And I remember that moment. It was like a baseball bat, you know, and maybe we'll do another podcast on Fighting Clean, because we're giving just glimpses here. But you know, I remember that moment, and it was I'm still in process. That was such an exposure of how selfishness hid behind noble ministry endeavors, where I was, for Jesus, putting my ministry responsibilities just straight up ahead of yours. And it was selfish. It was super selfish. And I couldn't even see it, because I had this like banner of the gospel over it in a way. It's just amazing what we'll use to hide our own selfishness. Yeah. Well, I bought that boat for the gospel, or, you know, it's like, whatever, you know what I mean? I didn't buy a boat, but I'm just saying, like, we come up with these reasons where we justify just straight up, it's about me-isms, and we put Jesus on it, family on it, etc. And in this moment, I was putting, you know, ministry on it and totally overlooking my first ministry, which is my wife. And so, yeah, I think, you know, as we kind of wrap up this podcast, I do think that marriage grows as selfishness is exposed, confronted, dealt with, and crucified. Mm-hmm. And then something beautiful is born, right? Yes. Jesus says, when you lose your life, he doesn't just leave you. Right. You find it. Yep. You find it. Yep. And so something, I love this idea that you and I are made in the image of God. Human beings were made in the image of God. And God is three in one. And his very nature is self-giving love. And so when we are not practicing self-giving love, when we're being selfish, when we're looking out for ourselves above giving, above sacrificing, we are actually fighting against the imago Dei. Yes. We are fighting against the image of God in us, and it will only lead to you being miserable. Yeah. So when Jesus says it's better to give than to receive, this is not a manipulative tool to get you to give. It's actually a pathway to liberation and joy. And I think that experiencing that together has been one of the most fun or exciting parts of being married.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think it's important to acknowledge that it requires a lot of patience, right? That like growing in selflessness and growing in selfless love towards your spouse, it takes a lot of patience. And you were patient with me for so, so long as I worked through my stuff.
Yeah.
And as I continually had to go back and invite Christ to reorient and change my heart. So.
Yeah. Well, and I can say the same thing. You've been incredibly patient with me, especially, you know, when I wanted to live in a cave and, you know, not, spend money on a Starbucks coffee and all the crazy things I went through that you had to put up with. That's part of the journey is loving each other in the process, right? In the process. And I hope this has been an encouragement to you. That's your 30 minutes to challenge you, encourage you. For every married couple, the best days are ahead. Start making investments. Start thinking about your calendar. Start implementing these tools to actually keep the love burning bright, going after Jesus together, making investments together, hunting out selfishness together. Thank you so much for listening. If this content has been helpful, I just encourage you like it, subscribe to the podcast, share it on social. It helps us reach more people. And I just want to encourage you in every area of your life, practice radical devotion to Jesus. You will never regret a single moment that you were devoted wholeheartedly to him. Thanks so much for listening. We'll see you next time. Switch it.